A guten Erev Shabbos. Parshas Noach. Noach is an exciting parsha. First of all, it's an exciting parsha because it's an exciting parsha. Every parsha in the Torah is an exciting parsha to be able to learn the details of a parsha, but especially those parshas that are in Sefer Bereishis, to be able to hear what you might say are the stories that you've heard when you were in first, second, third, fourth, fifth grades. And finally, as a ninth grader, 10th grader, 11th grader, 12th grader, to be able to go through it as an adult or a Rebbe or older and older and older, to be able to look at the stories of our past and be able to look at it as a mature person, that is the magnificence of going through these parshiyas that we're going through right now. It's very, very different. I once heard of Sham Shem Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, talk about what it's like to study parshiyas the same way when you're your age now as you had done when you were in third grade, second grade. He said it's like a child who has an upsharon. A child has an upsharon, for those who do upsharons. A child has an upsharon at 3 years old, and he cut his hair. But part of the greatness of that day is that he finally gets to wear a pair of tzitzis and he gets to wear a yarmulke. So they buy him a tiny pair of tzitzis for this tiny little kid. He puts on the tzitzis. Finally, he can be careful. He's going to hold on to this thing. He's going to maintain his. He's excited. He has the tzitzis. He got the strings flying out. Just like we got Ellie's beautiful tzitzis strings flying out. Yeah, when you have a person, a kid gets those tzitzis are flying out. And he looks gorgeous in them. But he's 3 years old now. When he's 4 years old, he's 5 years old. Imagine the guy now is 15 years old in 10th grade, and he has tzitzis. And you look at him, he's like, very uncomfortable. And you're wondering, why are you so uncomfortable? My tzitzis are too tight. You're like, what do you mean your tzitzis are too tight? He's wearing the same tzitzis. He was 3 years old. That would be very embarrassing. First of all, he still even fits like that. But he's still too, yeah. He still has those tzitzis. When you're in 10th grade, 9th grade, 11th, 12th grade, you're still wearing your tzitzis from 3rd grade? Can it be? Says Rosh Hashanah Pinkus, that's like a kid who's learning the parsha the same way now that he's in 10th grade as he did when he was in 1st, 2nd, 3rd grade. Going through the story of Noach and not learning it again and again in depth. Reaching your level of maturity is missing out. It's living in the past. It's being a baby now that you're an adult. You're missing out. Last Shabbos, I decided, you know, I have a whole bookshelf, a whole section of bookshelves, and a lot of Sfarim, Baruch Hashem. And I usually on Shabbos, I try to go through as many of my Sfarim that I have on the Parsha to be able to really, really get in. And I get into this, I get to that one. This Shabbos, I obsess over this. Last Shabbos, I decided I'm going to obsess on only one commentary. Only Rashi. I spent the whole Shabbos working on Rashi slowly, slowly, slowly. And it made me think about it. I once heard Rabbi Reisman speak, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, and he said that when he goes to the Parsha this year instead of last year, he feels like somebody took some Rashis, wrote it in this year, and has Rashi keep slipping it in. I never saw this Rashi before. That's what you feel like. You grow up another year, it's totally different Rashi. A totally different appreciation. To be able to understand, I was telling Rabbi Milson this morning, an idea from the Heilige Piasetzner Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, Hashem Kandamei, who was one of the great, great Tzadikim. You heard of him? Piasetzner Rebbe? One of the great Tzadikim who was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1943, I think it was. And he talks about a Rashi in this parsha that I never even thought about. Honestly, right in the beginning of the parsha. Rashi says over there in the beginning of the parsha, he talks about Noach. Es alekim misalech Noach. It differentiates between what the Torah says about Noach, that Noach went with Hashem, And by Avram Avinu, it says, Asher hisalachti lefonav, that Avram Avinu went in front of Hashem. And he says, Rashi says over there, what's the difference between going with Hashem and in front of Hashem? So Rashi says, Noach hoya tzarech sad litaimchoi, Noach needed help to support him. Aval Avram hoya mischazik umahalech bitzitka me'ilav. Avram was strong and he went on his own, with his tzitka. So his righteousness, he went on his own. I'm not going to say the whole idea from the Halakha P'Yaseh and Rebbe, but I just want to make one point. I learned this Rashi a lot of times. All your Rebbe's learned this Rashi a lot of times. Many of you probably saw this Rashi a lot of times. You see this Rashi. Did I ever pay attention to the fact that the word tomich means to support? What type of person needs to be supported? What type of person? A person who has fallen. Fallen. If you fall, you need to be picked up. Tomech means to pick someone up, to support them. Noach must have fallen. What does it mean that Noach had fallen? I never thought about this in the Rashi. If Noach had fallen and needed to be picked up, and Avraham Avinu didn't fall, he kept on going. What does it mean to fall for Noach? But you learn a pasuk, and you learn a Rashi, and you learn this parsha. Stop being the same eyes of a child. You have to look at it at your level of maturity. Have a conversation about it. If you have opportunities on Shabbos, by your Shabbos table, in shul, on your own, to be able to look through the parsha, to be able to get an appreciation for it. There's so much you have to offer to yourself about the transformational things that you're going to learn from the Torah to be able to appreciate. I want to focus on one idea in this week's parsha. Noach builds a teva. Noach goes into the teva. He brings all the animals with him. We spoke about it in class today. Really, it's a Ramban. The Ramban says, of course, the teva was miraculous. Of course, the size of the teva would have to have been enormous, unbelievably enormous. I once read an article, I was telling the class, I once read an article about how much room you need per animal. Every elephant cannot survive. It will die without a certain amount of square footage to be able to walk around. If an elephant is stuck in one spot, it will die. It needs to move around. A giraffe's neck has to be a certain amount of height. If each floor was indeed 10 amas high, how do you have all these enormous animals to fit into this small space? And the Ramban says very famously that Noach was supposed to build a teva. It would never be large enough, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to minimize the miracle. Fine. So the pasuk continues, and it talks about the Torah, Torah talks about the teva, and it talks about the marble, and it talks about all of that. And then the pasuk points out over here. It's in pasuk Chav Gimel. The pasuk says, the Torah says, "Va'yimachas kol yikum asher apni adama mi'adam ad behem," was all erased. Ad remes v'ad ifa shemayim, all of the crawling animals and all of the birds, va'yimachul min haaretz, and in fact the whole ground was erased, wiped away. Va'yishor ach Noach v'asher itay v'teva, and all that was left was just Noach and that those who were with him in the teva. All that was left was ach Noach. Just Noach, only Noach. I thought about this. People know what Rashi says here. I want to share what Rashi says here. What does it mean, Ach Noach? Ach Noach, just Noach was left. It should just say, the Torah doesn't talk like a fourth grader. And I have my cousins in Eretz Yisrael. When they speak in English, they always add, maybe you see this, they say, you say, did you do such a thing? Oh yes, oh no, oh yes. Why do they always add the O? What's the O? Oh yes, oh no. It's not proper grammar. Over here it says, who survived? Just Noach and his children. No, Noach and his children survived. What does it mean, Ach Noach? Says Rashi, Levad Noach, just Noach, only Noach survived with his children and his family. Umedrisha Gada, there's a medrash on this, says Rashi, Goy Neach. And why does the medrash have to be here? Because the words are very difficult to understand. Ach means a limitation. Something was missing. Just Noach. Goyneach, he was the koyhadam. He was coughing up blood. Noach was coughing up blood. Mitoyach habehemois v'achayis, from the labor of all of the animals and the wild beasts. And then it says the famous thing, v'yeshayim, and some say that he delayed bringing the food to the lion. The lion hit him. Fine. But the first pshat the Rashi brings over here, the Medrash Agadah, is that Noach was coughing up blood from the amount of work he was putting into his crazy zoo. A crazy zoo with every creature on planet Earth. Noach was coughing up blood. And that's why it says Ach Noach. Ach Noach is a limitation. What it means to say is, Noach wasn't all there anymore. Noach was missing some part of himself. Because he was taking care of everyone else, and the Noach that was before the Mabul, and the Noach that came out of the Mabul, was quite a bit different. He had lost a lot. He had lost his physical health. I don't know what happened psychologically. He had lost tons of blood. Ach Noach. Coughing up blood. That was Noach. Why did Hashem do this to him? Why did Hashem do this to him? Why did Hashem do this to him? To be able to fall apart. Why was that so important? Why was it so important? Perhaps maybe you thought about this as well. You're about to build a whole world. You know, each one of us are builders of worlds. You build a world. You're building a family, like as we spoke about the mitzvah of Puravu, to build a family, to build your neighborhood, to build yourself. Talmidei Chachamim are called builders. We build the world. You steig in Torah, you learn Torah. You know, even the letters of Torah are called avonim. They're called avonim, tevois, structures. Every time you learn, you're building the world. When you build the world, when you fill it all up, the pasuk says, Olam chesed yibone. We build the world with kindness. You have to build the world with kindness. And Noach was being told, I'm building the world from you. When you come out of this teva, you are building a brand new world. The whole world is going to come from Noach and from his progeny. Olam chesed yibone. You think you can be a Baal Chesed just like that? You think you just figure it out on your own, what it means to be a Baal Chesed? I remember hearing Victor Miller, he often spoke about by the Arabs. You know, the Arabs are big Baal Chesed. You wouldn't know it from all the news. No, the Arabs are big Baal Chesed. If you go to an Arabian house, even now, as a Jew, if you go there and you ask them for food to eat and something to drink, they will give it to you. You're wrong. They will give it to you. They will host you until you're 25 feet away from their house. When you're 25 feet, 50 feet out away from their house, then they'll shoot you. But if you come to their house, and it's absolute truth, because you know who their tati was, from Avram Avinu. Chesed! We know chesed. We don't need training. We can figure it out on our own. Look at the United States. You have, you choose a 501c3, I have no opinions on anything political. That said, there's a good amount of people on a certain part of the political spectrum, which are the tremendous Baalei Chesed. We need to be kind and open-hearted to everyone. We need to be open-minded. We need to be generous. If you have a person who thinks they're a different type of person, you have to be generous. You have to let it happen. You have to do whatever you can. You can't figure out what Chesed means on your own. You need training. You need to be taught what Chesed is. You need to turn to people. You need to turn to the Torah for a description of what is chesed. It was worth Noach falling to pieces. It was worth Noach hacking up blood. It was worth Noach being a little bit less Noach when he comes out of that teva for him to learn how to build a world on chesed. I have to take care of every animal. I have to know what time they're supposed to eat. I have to know what type of food they're supposed to eat. I have to know where to take their garbage. I have to know everything about them. And I can't be late. We see what happens when he was late. It wasn't just that an animal gets mad at him. It was because he's being trained. I've got to get into the mind of another person to really think about what does he want? What does he need? There is a world outside of myself. Some people see it more easily than others, but it needs training. It needs training. When you walk into a room, what's the first thing that you're thinking about? Are you thinking about, are there other people in the room? Are you thinking about, is there someone in the room who could use something from me? Is there an opportunity that I can give to that person? Is there something that I can make that person's life better? And if I'm not, and he does something bad, or he has a bad day because of it, or he's sad, is it my fault? Is it on me? Because I could have
done something. Because there are people out there who can use my help and my support. How do I look at my life when I wake up? Rabbi Yehuda Zev Segal, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, was very famously the Manchester Rosh Hashiva. But aside from being the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, he had started, very famously, the Chafetz Chaim daily learning. To learn Chafetz Chaim every single day, he was the one, two halachas a day of Chafetz Chaim. One of the things that Rabbi Yehuda Zev Segal used to teach people was that you start your day with chesed. The very first thing, you wash your nigelvas, you're fine, you wash your hands in the morning, but the very first thing is you look for an opportunity for chesed. An opportunity for chesed. Just look for it and start your day with chesed because you are building yourself. Oilam chesed yibone. Every morning, I might have mentioned this before, every morning I try to take something to do a chesed. Maybe it's just taking my charger and putting it into my wife's phone so I can charge her phone so that her phone can be charged. Maybe it's something like that. I used to have terrible allergies. Hay fever, sneezing, seasonal allergies. It was terrible. My nose would be running. The worst time for your nose to be running, the most difficult time, is middle Shemoneh Esrei. Middle Shemoneh Esrei, what am I going to do? I thought I had enough tissues, or I didn't remember, or when I started Shemoneh Esrei, my nose wasn't running. What am I going to do? And literally to this day, I remember the three people who brought me a tissue box in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Three people. One of them was my father. Yeah, I the type of person that looks around, there's someone who's sniffing a lot. He can't do anything for himself. He can't take care of himself. Get some tissues. Bring it to him. Find him some tissues. There are people in the yeshiva who are just like that. They're like that. They look for opportunities to be able to take care of others. Get the tissue box. If something is on the floor, if somebody's sweatshirt was on the floor, if somebody left something behind, like yesterday, we went on the boat yesterday, there were people who went around to look, to see if anybody left anything. There are people here in yeshiva, when we're playing ball, they want to make sure that everyone's part of it. There are people here in yeshiva who are not yet on that standard, not yet on that level. I just want to make sure that I'm in the game. I said a story, I said it this morning. It's chatoy ani mazkir, something I learned, and I learned the hard way. And I believe that Hashem punished me because of this. I believe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. A number of years ago, we were playing basketball with the boys in yeshiva, and I was playing ball with them. There was a person on the side, and he also wanted to play. So I offered him my spot in the game. And he said, no, you play. And I'll to be honest, I wanted to play. I didn't push it. And that game, I go up for a rebound. I came down right on my ankle, fractured it, tore three ligaments, and sprained it. And it's never been the same. But I learned a lesson. Why am I not thinking about another person? I'm on a court. What am I doing here? What am I even doing here? Why am I not looking for an opportunity for chesed here? Am I just playing basketball? Or am I greater than that? Am I just in yeshiva? Or am I more than that? Am I davening in shul, but I'm only focused on myself? Somebody else can use a tissue. I come into yeshiva. Sometimes, right away in the morning. Some days, not too often. But some days, right away in the morning, we're waiting for the minyan for the first kaddish. Now, people are already here, but fine. But the person should pay attention. Is there a minyan in the shul? Am I making the whole minyan wait? Sometimes that happens. Now, almost never. Happened so far once. But to look around and think, am I needed? Am I necessary? You come to your class, every single person here in your class is a major part of your class. When you're not there, your Rebbe feels it. He needs you in the classroom. He wants you in the classroom. Your chaverim need you in the classroom. Your friends need you. You're part of the dynamic excitement of a classroom. Think about it. You're not just learning. Learning is building the world. But you're a Baal Chesed. And Noach was willing to be the Baal Chesed, Ach Noach, even if it took a little bit part away from me. You have to get comfortable looking around for those opportunities. Life is full of chesed. People say, I never get chances for chesed. My father, Zichrono Baruch Hu, used to say, that if you're looking for it, you'll find it. If you're looking for chesed, you'll find it. If you go out in the street and look for a person, you'll find it. My very first year teaching, I told the boys in my class how important it is to say good morning to people, to smile to people, to say good Shabbos to a person. It's very important. I told my class, you know what we should do? We should go out. Yeshiva back then was Notion King's Highway. I was teaching over there. And we should go out and we should say good morning to people with a smile. Class is like, nobody's going to like it. Nobody's going to like it. Isn't it ridiculous? I said, trust me. We went out. We walked along Notion Avenue and King's Highway. Now, these are the busiest people because they're all waiting for the buses. You'd imagine nobody's interested. Every single person gave us a huge smile and a good morning in response. Because if you look for chesed, even a small chesed like that, you'll find it. Bezer Hashem, you should find a chesed at home. You should find a chesed at your Shabbos table. By the way, Nebuch nowadays, it's a pretty big chesed to say thank you to your mother for making delicious food. It shouldn't have to be a chesed, but maybe it's not expected. You should say thank you. You should have beautiful food. You should have beautiful zmiras. You should have beautiful Shabbos. And everyone should have tons and tons and tons of aslachu brachah and nachas yeshem.